This is Jay Sekulow, a victory at the Supreme Court for prayer.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Supreme Court has upheld opening government meetings with a prayer. This was a case from the town of Greece, New York, near Rochester. Two people that attend public meetings there challenged the prayer as being predominantly Christian. One was an atheist, one was Jewish, and they said that the prayers made them feel unwelcome and were, in essence, a government establishment of the Christian faith. The court rejected that today. Number one, they said prayer at public meetings like this is largely ceremonial. It has a long history. It dates back to the founding of the Republic. Second, it said it's not for the government to be in the business of trying to define what acceptable prayer is. They say if you try to get a prayer that's going to be acceptable to everybody, including non-believers, that's just impossible. The First Amendment, they say, doesn't require that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
September 11th, who tells Hillary Clinton at 10 p.m. to put out this statement that says some have sought to justify this vicious behavior. The announcement has already happened about the Benghazi attack as a response to inflammatory material posted on the internet. Now, at 10 p.m. Eastern time, this is still going on, this attack. So where does that come from?
I don't know.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
It is the thing that everybody is talking about.
What we did know quite early on was that this was a hostile action. This was no demonstration gone terribly awry. To the point of what happened, the facts led to the conclusion of a terrorist attack.
Was it a video?
No, sir.
Was it a video that sparked a protest?
No, sir.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court decision that just came down moments ago. Excuse me. A 5-4 decision in favor of prayer at legislative assemblies. This is a case that the American Center for Law and Justice, we filed a brief in. It's an important case and one that has far-reaching ramifications because it's not just the, quote, non-sectarian prayer, whatever that is. I never could figure out what a non-sectarian prayer was. But there's great language in the opinion. We're going to get to that. And we're talking about the call for a special prosecutor for the Benghazi investigation, because that is becoming loud and clear with that email that was released, that this was a government out of control, a government in spin control, and a government where politics was outranking every other consideration as we were to determine what happened on 9/11 in 2012. We're also taking your calls to celebrate this victory in this prayer case, but also to talk about Benghazi. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. After the break, I'm going to get into the Supreme Court ruling on this prayer case. But, Jordan, what's the latest on the Benghazi situation in Washington?
Well, we're preparing for the Select Committee on Benghazi and the announcement of how this committee will move forward to investigate again what happened, why the White House was using military and intelligence information to really spin that their focus was to misuse what the military was providing, take that, and then spin it into something that politically benefited their message. Of course, we have to recall this was a couple months before, less than 2 months before, the presidential election 2012. So the White House, you could see all of their focus was on politics, except for, of course, very importantly, in America, the military's job and our intelligence community's job is not to benefit the politics of the current administration. It's to provide for the national security and provide intelligence. And you don't take that information, misuse it, or change it around just to benefit yourself politically. We can't let them get away with it, because what happens if this becomes the norm? It's a bad, bad process.
Well, the good news is there is a call right now for a select committee on the Benghazi investigation. I'm going to explain what that means after the break. But let me tell you this. We've got a petition now to Congress. We want that select committee to find out exactly what happened. You could join it at ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. It'd be great to hear from all 50 states standing up to this idea of getting a select committee. That's what we need to determine what happened. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And that committee will have broad subpoena power. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including, why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about Benghazi, but also a Supreme Court decision that has just come out. It's called the Town of Greece versus Galloway. There was a challenge to a prayer given at the beginning of a legislative session. Here's what Justice Kennedy wrote for the majority, saying that the prayers are keeping with the nation's traditions. Quote, the inclusion of a brief ceremonial prayer as part of a larger exercise in civil recognition suggests that its purpose and effects are to acknowledge religious leaders and the institutions they represent rather than to exclude or coerce non-believers. Then there was this whole argument that, well, they allowed prayer at the legislative for the House and Senate, but that's, quote, non-sectarian, which, by the way, is not true. I don't even know what a non-sectarian prayer is. But anyways, here's what the court said. An insistence on non-sectarian or ecumenical prayer as a single fixed standard is not consistent with the tradition of legislative prayer outlined in the court's cases. The court found the prayers in Marsh consistent with the First Amendment, not because they espoused only a generic theism, but because our history and tradition have shown that prayer in this limited context could coexist with the principles of disestablishment and religious freedom. And it's a very, very significant decision. And by the way, the court went on to quote prayers that ended in Jesus' name. The court also said the decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Let me read that again. The decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in a religious idiom. It acknowledges our growing diversity not by prescribing sectarian content, but by welcoming ministers of many creeds. The court went also on to hold that the First Amendment is not a majority rule and government may not seek to define permissible categories of religious prayers or speech. Once it invites prayers into the public spheres, government must permit a prayer giver to address his or her own God, and the conscience dictates, unfettered by what administrators or judges consider to be non-sectarian. This is a huge win, folks. I mean, really, really significant win on religious freedom. And I think this ends, finally, the debate on prayer before these legislative bodies. This was a great decision. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right to the phone. People are calling about this.
Absolutely. Let's go to Tammy calling from Texas Online 1. Tammy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I don't understand why this is even a question in America. Everybody knows that this country was founded on the God of the Bible. When they first got here and hit the shores, when this actually took and founding this country actually took, they prayed to God to put a cross on them.
No, I lived about 6 miles, not even, probably 4 miles from the Cape where they planted that cross in Virginia, and you're right. And the court acknowledges this. I mean, here's the good news, Tammy. A lot of courts have ruled against these prayers, but the Supreme Court has now ended that debate. And I like the fact that they say that the fact that the prayer is Christian in this particular case is not constitute a violation. And this idea that, you know, a Christian prayer would be somehow subject to second-class treatment is, you know, basically, here's what the court says. The decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in a religious idiom. It acknowledges our growing diversity, not by proscribing sectarian content, but by welcoming ministers of many creeds. And Jordan, you've been there, and it is multi-denominational, and there's a lot of religious references to faith throughout Washington, D.C., where you live.
Yeah, that's right. And the idea that, of course, there's a chaplain for Congress and that you will have prayers. There are other religious leaders that come in and offer prayers before the legislature here, sometimes that are not of the Christian faith. And we have this idea that tolerance is something that we actually strive for and accept in the United States, especially from a government level. And the idea, again, this whole idea that the atheist groups have been trying to push that there are non-sectarian prayers, that you can actually have a prayer without there being any references. I think the court today, rightfully so, said, you know, that's basically a ridiculous argument. It doesn't make sense. And what is the government going to start sparsely say? We could say Almighty, but you can't say Jesus in your prayer, because Almighty may be non-sectarian, but Jesus is too sectarian. And the truth is, that's in the eye of the beholder.
That's exactly correct. And again, a great decision on this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget also, while we're not talking about it right this minute, we will be talking about the Benghazi situation later in the second half hour of the broadcast. Call for a special select committee with subpoena power, folks. That could get to the bottom of what happened here and what I believe is the administration's cover-up. If you want to support that call for a joint select committee, go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition, or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Chris in Georgia, line two. Chris, welcome to JCKO Live.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to give a plug for Regent University. I'm a Regent University law school grad from 2004. It's a great place to learn the law.
Jordan, what were you were 2000 and... Eight,
2009.
Yeah, there you go. So, all right.
My question is regarding this Supreme Court decision, and what are the implications for the Lemon Test, and specifically the myth of government neutrality towards religion? What will the language in this this current case?
We're still analyzing the opinion. I mean, it just came out a couple hours ago, and I'm going to get a copy of that opinion now. And I'll tell you this, it's one of the things that's important. The court seems to, and Chris, you may remember this from law school, move away from this whole, three-part test, although I think it's mentioned. I want to let you know that the court, by deciding that the government is not going to get into the prayer business, that the sectarian nature of something is not going to be determined by a government, has to bode well for religious liberty. I mean, I think in and of itself, that was a significant win. It appears the court relied primarily on the Marsh versus Chamber line of cases. Marsh, of course, was the case that held that a prayer at legislative bodies was constitutional. I don't see a lot of Lemon analysis in the summaries. We will get I'll get a full analysis of this up on our website shortly. But I think the biggest thing the court focused on was Marsh versus Chambers, it looks like. And they did not want to get into this idea that the prayer is Christian, therefore it has to go. And that in of itself was a huge victory. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Pamela in Maryland on line three. Pamela, welcome to JCKO Live.
Hi, Pamela.
Let's go back to the phones.
Okay, you're listening to your radio, so we're going to go to somebody else and turn that radio down. We'll try to get back to you. Who's next?
Yep, we got calls coming in on Benghazi as well. Yep. Richard calling in from California on line five. Richard, welcome to JCKO Live.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, praise the Lord, preacher here in California. Could it be, Jay, that they didn't send men into Benghazi because that would have completely defeated Obama's statement that Al-Qaeda was on the run. Could that be?
And well, Jordan, what is the sense? I mean, this is let me play the president's soundbite, and I want to get Jordan to respond to this. He's been on top of this one. Here's number 22.
I said we'd refocus on the people who actually attacked us on 9/11. And today, Al-Qaeda's on the run, and Osama bin Laden is dead.
So that was clearly, Jordan, the narrative.
That's right. I mean, that was President Obama almost 3 months before the Benghazi attacks. That was June of 2012 on the campaign trail. And that narrative that, you know, we've got Al-Qaeda on the run, we've got their allies on the run, that the war on terror is coming to a close, and you can thank the Obama administration for that. That was the narrative throughout, that we are no longer facing this kind of threat. So when this Benghazi attack happened, trying to make it about, you know, a random group of people who said, let's kill some Americans tonight. Remember, that's what Hillary Clinton said in her congressional testimony, or that people got upset about a video, and so it was more random and spontaneous. It wasn't a coordinated attack, and yet we have heard time and time again, and now we know from the facts, these were heavily armed, well-trained attackers who knew what they were doing, had a mission to carry out. They were part of the Al-Qaeda network, they were part of the Islamic terror network, and they were organized, which is the opposite of the message that President Obama and his campaign were trying to preach around the country leading up to the November election.
So I think it's fair to say that why we need a select committee is until you have a select committee with the subpoena power, Jordan, you're not getting to the bottom of this.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, you've got an administration trying to write off everything. I mean, to the point of saying, oh, it's 2 years ago. And again, they're putting out a lot of their youngest staffers, it feels like, to take some of the blame. And when the truth is that ultimately this rests with the President of the United States, not just his spokesperson.
Well, listen to this, with Brett Baer and this guy that was in this National Security Office, who was, actually asking the question about who rewrote what. And listen to his, you heard it in the open. Listen to this response.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about.
This was like 2 years ago with four Americans dead. He doesn't remember. You realize what's going on here, right? Full blown cover up. We're going to get to the bottom of it with the select committee with subpoena power. We want to support that act of Congress. Go to your phones right now at 1-877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I encourage you to take action right now. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We want to get the select committee in place. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition to get this thing moving. And if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Your head up today, and that's because great victory, 5-4 out of the Supreme Court of the United States. Previous caller, a Regent University Law School graduate from 2005 or 2004, contacted us asking us if the famous Lemon Test was in the case, and Lemon has caused a lot of problem in the religious freedom arena. Jordan, you've done the quick check here, and what have you found?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is interesting because it goes back to the history of our country, much like the what we see in Washington, D.C., and how we begin, the fact that we have chaplains here in Congress, that we have references to God and even scripture in our monuments around Washington, D.C. and around the country. But it said it's practiced by Congress since the framing of the Constitution. Legislative prayer lends gravity to public business, reminds lawmakers to transcend petty difference in pursuit of a higher purpose, and express a common aspiration to a just and peaceful society. And they go back to that case that held that legislative prayer was okay, Marsh versus Chambers. They said the court in Marsh found that the test, the Establishment Clause tests, were unnecessary because history supported the conclusion that legislative invocations are compatible with the Establishment Clause.
Yep.
The first Congress made an early item of business to appoint and pay official chaplains, and both the House and the Senate have maintained the office virtually uninterrupted since that time. And I think this is very important. Any test the court adopts must acknowledge a practice that was accepted by the framers and it withstood the scrutiny of time and political change.
It's also, there's this whole thing where, you know, groups would say, well, you know, if it was non-sectarian in nature, maybe it'd be okay, whatever that meant. I don't know how even non-sectarian prayer. But it's interesting. Here's what Justice Kennedy wrote. The difficulty, indeed futility, of sifting sectarian from non-sectarian speech is illustrated by a letter that a lawyer for the respondents sent the town in the early stages of this litigation. The letter opined that references to Father God, Lord God, and the Almighty would be acceptable in public prayer, but that references to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Trinity would not be. Perhaps the writer believed the former groupings would be acceptable to monotheists, yet even seemingly general references to God or Father might alienate non-believers or polytheists. The First Amendment is not a majority rule, and government may not seek to define permissible categories of religious speech. Once it invites prayer into the public sphere, government must permit a prayer giver to address his or own God or gods as conscience dictates, unfettered by what the administrator or a judge considers to be non-sectarian. It's a huge win, folks. It has taken that issue off the table. So that is a great decision. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go right to him. Let's go to Philip in Alabama on line two. Philip, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Philip.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say, just knowing the sovereignty of God and looking at how he controls governments throughout our throughout the history,
yep,
in the Bible, it's just awesome to be a part of one of those moments in history, because that's what this is. And
now, this is a great win, no doubt about it. I will tell you that it's broader than I think any of us thought it was going to be in scope and in nature, and the opinion by Justice Kennedy seems to be really well-reasoned, and I think it puts to end the battle over prayer at public events when it comes to legislative sessions, whether it's city council, town halls, whatever it might be. I think that's it's off the table, and that's a big win. And I think it brings the law forward significantly to get out of this ridiculous sectarian, non-sectarian differential, which never made any sense. So a great win there. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan?
Yep, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Susie in Texas on line four. Susie, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Susie.
Hello. I wanted to ask if this new ruling will hopefully carry over to Christian military chaplains to be able to pray in the name of Jesus.
I think it does. I'll tell you why, and I think it, and we're going to, believe me, we're going to be talking that up over the next couple of weeks, because number one, the court very clearly said, and I think this was very significant that Justice Kennedy wrote this, and this is interesting language. And talking about the decidedly Christian nature of some of the prayers, the decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in religious idiom. It acknowledges our growing diversity not by proscribing sectarian content, by welcoming ministers of many creeds, and the military has chaplains from a multitude of religious faith and denominations. So I think this is a big help to our fight for these chaplains, no doubt about it. Again, a great way to start the week with this win. And your American Center for Law and Justice filed a brief both at the search stage and a brief on the merits when the case was argued. So a friend of the court brief was filed by the ACLJ because we've been involved in so many of these cases. Back to the phones we go. Phone lines are jammed. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Jacob in Connecticut on line 5. Jacob, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, yeah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. We're going to go back to you. We're having a little trouble hearing you. Let's take another call.
Yep, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Patrick in California, line 3. Patrick, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, I just want to thank you guys for all your hard work and dedication to the cause of Christianity. And I'm behind you 100%. And I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm just hoping that this carries over into the military.
Well, thank you for your service to the country, and I really think it does carry over into the military because the whole idea that we're not going to get in, the government can't get into sectarian versus non-sectarian, I think that is significant, and I believe that is going to be a big help in our fight for military chaplains. So, again, Patrick, thank you for your service, and the language, obviously the opinion's just come out, folks, so we're giving an analysis right now, but I will tell you we're fighting for this aggressively, and this is the kind of positions we've been advocating, and the court went further than anybody anticipated them going, and that's a really big positive. We're getting a ton of calls on this, so we're going to stay on this in the next half hour of the broadcast, folks. If you don't get the full hour of our broadcast, just go, if you do on SiriusXM, of course, just go over to aclj.org. We're streaming it live there at aclj.org, and we'll be taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, so stay on the line if you're on the line. If you're not, just hang in there. We'll get to you in a moment. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, give us a quick update on what's going to happen on Benghazi, and then I'm going to ask people to take action.
That's right. So in Benghazi, the Select Committee will be coming together. We expect to get that today in Washington. It's suspected that Congressman Trey Gowdy will be chosen by Speaker Boehner to lead that, and we will get more details. So this is all coming together this week, a Select Committee. And again, will there be any Democrat support, or will this have to be another partisan effort because the Democrats are basically in the pocket of the president here and unwilling to rock the boat?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that what you've got is a situation where I think Trey Gowdy, by the way, would be a great choice. I was with the congressman and with Senator Lindsey Graham last week in South Carolina, and you could tell Trey Gowdy was a great prosecutor, no doubt about it. Folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Obviously, we're all celebrating this win. We're going to talk more about it, the Supreme Court case. It's a big decision. But as Jordan just mentioned, we're also calling for the Select Committee. The question is going to be, is it going to be a political decision? Will Democrats cross over and support what needs to happen here on Benghazi, a Select Committee? If so, call us at 1-877-989-2255, and that is the number. You can add your name to a petition calling for this Select Committee, aclj.org. Or 877-989-2255. Also, you can go to aclj.org. Of course, sign it up there. But let me also encourage you, like us on Facebook. I think we're approaching, if my numbers are right here, almost 1,200,000 between mine and ACLJ's. And with a pet, you add Jordan's to that, we're probably over 1,200,000. We want it. The next goal, folks, is going to be 1,000,004, and we believe we can get there. Can you imagine that? 1,400,000 people we can communicate with instantaneously. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSeculo. You can follow me there as well. But again, sign that petition for the Select Committee at aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including, why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Freedom.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision in the prayer case. We're also talking about Benghazi. If you want to talk to us on air, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, let me tell you what's happened. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, reverses the Second Circuit Court of Appeals and holds that a town's prayer practice does not, let me repeat, does not violate the Establishment Clause. The court, by opinion by Justice Kennedy, writes, quote, "The inclusion of a brief ceremonial prayer as part of a larger exercise in civic recognition suggests that its purpose and effects are acknowledged religious leaders, the institutions they represent, rather than to exclude or coerce non-believers." The court went on to say that this non-sectarian-sectarian distinction that some were trying to drive, which we thought was a mistake, was a mistake. An insistence on non-sectarian or ecumenical prayer as a single fixed star is not consistent with the traditions of legislative prayer outlined in the court's cases. The court found in prayers in the Marsh case consistent with the First Amendment, not because they espoused only a generic theism, but because our history and traditions have shown that prayer is in this limited context could coexist with the principles of disestablishment and religious freedom. Also, here's the thing. They always attack these prayers as decidedly Christian. Well, here's what the court said. "The decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in religious idiom. It acknowledges our growing diversity, not by prescribing sectarian content, but by welcoming ministers of many creeds." Huge win. Big decision. We're thrilled with it, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right to them.
Yep, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Mary Mary May in California, line 3. Mary May, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hours after Benghazi, I don't know if you can still retrieve this, but Hillary Clinton got on TV and said, "This should make people of every faith outraged." And I thought the point was just to turn people against each other.
Well, I mean, I don't know. After Benghazi, they were in such spin control, Jordan. I don't think they knew at that point. All they were trying to do was protect the president's narrative.
That's absolutely right. They were trying to protect this narrative that al-Qaeda is on the run, that they were defeating al-Qaeda, that the war on terror was coming to a close. And so anything that contradicted that or put that into question, they were trying to, again, downplay. So to a point of really rewriting the history of the event. So they wanted to make it about spontaneous anti-American action instead of coordinated terror attack.
I think that's right. And so they were just doing anything they could to protect their narrative. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. If you want to talk to us on air, we're talking about Benghazi. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision in the prayer case. 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's try to grab another call before the break.
Yep. Let's go to William in Georgia, line 6. William, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, William.
Hey. Hey,
yes,
Jordan. How you doing?
Good.
I got a two-part question real quick for you.
Yep.
The first part of the question is this right here. With this Benghazi case going on and the congressional investigation going on in this case, would Greg Hicks play a vital part in this investigation?
Jordan, hard to say. What do you think, Jordan? I mean, it depends on once you got a select committee, there's broad subpoena power. It's handled completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could hear from people that we've heard from in the past. Gregory Hicks, of course, was the former deputy chief of mission in Libya, who said he knew this was a terrorist attack immediately. But the scope of the individuals will be questioned. I think it will go much deeper than that, than those who you've already testified, and there will be more information as it's put together that will shed even more light than those who the administration is trying to say, well, that was their opinion. I think what we're trying to get to is the point that the administration knew what the truth was, but was rewriting history.
That's exactly where I think it's going. We're calling for the special investigator, the special select committee. If you want to join with us, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And if you want to talk to us on air about Benghazi or the Supreme Court win, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we've got a major victory at the Supreme Court of the United States, 5-4 decision in favor of prayer at legislative assembly, city council meetings. Very strong opinion. They're not subjecting this to some kind of, and this is what's interesting, some kind of sectarian versus non-sectarian, or if the prayer's too Christian. Court did away with all of that. A big decision, which I think has big implications, even for our military prayer cases and the military free speech issue. So all of that's very positive. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're dealing with this and Benghazi. So there's a lot going on today. On Benghazi, we're calling for a select committee, which is moving in Congress, so that have broad subpoena power. In that context, we've got a petition up to support that at aclj.org, or you can sign in at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, our live phone line is 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Jerry in California online too. Jerry, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. I had a question with regarding the decision that the Supreme Court made.
Sure.
I'm a chaplain with LAPD.
Great.
And we are limited with regards to saying Jesus' name in our prayers because of the fact that there was a Supreme Court decision some years ago stating that, you know, Jesus was not allowed to be said at any kind of.
Well, the court, let me tell you, I don't know what Supreme Court decision that is, maybe a California Supreme Court decision, but that is not the law in the United States anymore. Let me read you from Justice Kennedy's opinion. The decidedly Christian nature of these prayers must not be dismissed as the relic of a time when our nation was less pluralistic than it is today. Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in a religious idiom and acknowledges our growing diversity, not by prescribing sectarian content, but by welcoming ministers of many creeds. And chaplains, you've got, you know, ministers, I'm sure, from a lot of different confessions. The First Amendment does not allow the government to write the words of a prayer. So I think that's a positive development, and Jerry, I think your policy should be revisited. You should talk to the administration there, and if you need help, I'll be happy to get you in touch with our ACLJ lawyers to get you some help on this. I think that policy has to be written in light of the Supreme Court decision.
Perfect. I will be in touch.
All right. Very good. Jordan, go ahead.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Connie in Florida online for Connie. Welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Connie.
Hi, Jordan. Congratulations on that win. I just wonder why, though, that they always make it so Christian, anti-Christian, and why they don't put in that you can't pray to Allah You know, that's their God.
Well, you know, this became beyond that. This was, you know, the lawyer initially said if you just had a kind of monotheistic prayer without a reference to Jesus or a deity in particular, it might be okay. But the Supreme Court said, look, we're not getting into that. We're not determining the difference between sectarian and non-sectarian. Once you allow prayer, it's up to the adherent of that faith, who is the chaplain for that selected event, to pray according to the dictates of their conscience, which, by the way, makes sense in light of the history of our First Amendment. And as Justice Kennedy, Jordan, says, it makes sense in light of our history as a nation.
Yeah, that's right, that this really predates the First Amendment, that this kind of activity, that any test the court adopts must acknowledge a practice that was accepted by the framers and has withstood the critical scrutiny of time and political change, that this is was practiced by Congress since the framing of the Constitution and the purposes behind it. So that this is an idea that it's okay in America. We can accept this in America. We can not only tolerate, but perhaps even appreciate ceremonial prayer delivered by a person of a different faith.
So I think in that context, it's a very broad win and a very positive decision. All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Jordan, back to the phones.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Irene in New York on line 3. Irene, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Irene.
Say something about this Benghazi thing. Please don't interrupt me. I don't think the Republicans will take back the Senate in November because of Benghazi. Why? Because, again, the liberals and the liberal media and the Democrats repeating everything about the, you know, they're going to boycott this. They will say it's a witch hunt for Hillary Clinton, because even on the Sunday shows, Lindsey Graham, Kelly Ayotte, they lost the narrative. They couldn't explain how in Benghazi is important. 4 Americans are dead. And by the way, the Republicans should say to them, shame the Democrats. Don't you care about 4 Americans dead? But no.
I disagree with you. I think the American people's interest, Jordan, you're right up there. I mean, there is a lot. There was a meeting that fans at this morning dealing with this.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this it's unique. I think that, you know, in one sense, you don't want to be, and no one is doing that. I think it really is the White House and some on the left and some Democrats who look like they're writing off the 4 Americans. I think, you know, Republicans are being very careful not to make it look like they're using the death is for political purposes of these 4 Americans, the fact that they were killed at the hands of terrorists, but that the administration was misusing. And this is why it's important to the American people. You cannot have a politically elected White House and administration staff there misusing intelligence, misusing military information for their own political purposes. That is a very dangerous precedent to set in the United States.
And I think that's exactly correct. All right, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about Benghazi. And by the way, we've got a petition up calling for that select committee at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's take another phone call.
Yeah, Lasitra in Virginia on line 5. Lasitra, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, Lasitra.
Hello.
You're on the air, ma'am.
All righty. I am just so excited about the Supreme Court and how they made the decision for the prayer. I'm just very, very excited about that. That is just something that I am just very...
Listen, I think we were all waiting with bated breath to see what the court was going to do. We knew it was going to be a close case, and it was, 5-4. And then to have the scope of the opinion so broad, and that's significant here, by getting rid of the sectarian, non-sectarian, you can pray in Jesus' name, you can't pray in Jesus' name. Well, now you can pray in the name according to the dictates of your conscience. And that's exactly how the law should be. So this was a great decision on a great opinion by Justice Kennedy for 5 members of the court. So, yes, positive decision. Jordan, were you? I don't know if you were even in town during. Were you in town during that oral argument?
I was.
How? What was your sense? It was close. Well, I remember at the argument.
Very close. I mean, like the case came out today, I mean, 5-4, you had those on the left, who which they put in their dissent today with Justice Kagan writing the dissent, saying that because, unlike, they're trying to distinguish this from a legislature and saying that you have to sometimes go before the town council to get, you know, permits or to do business. But, of course, what Justice Kennedy wrote is that these prayers are done before the official meeting begins, as to start the meeting, not in the middle of the meeting. And so, again, that we have to realize and celebrate the victory, but realize how close this is at the Supreme Court. I mean, it's 5 to four.
Yep.
So Supreme Court nominees, you know, a little change on the court, and this goes the other way.
All right, let's take Nan from Oregon on line one. Nan, welcome to broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering how this Supreme Court decision might affect schools. And
okay. No, that's a good question. It's going to be, we're going to play a bite by Pete Williams in a moment. It's in a schools are always in a different context, but I argued a series of cases at the Supreme Court involving student-led, student-initiated prayer. See you at the poll, events like that. The court overwhelmingly ruled in our favor. That's different than the government giving the prayer, obviously. But the student-initiated, student-led prayer. Here's what Pete Williams from NBC News had to say about that, number 29.
The court contrasted this decision with its decision on school prayer, which the Supreme Court barred. In that case, the court said children are in essence captives and they have no choice but to sit there. At a public meeting, the justices said people can get up and leave during the prayer, they can come late after the prayer, and even if they sit there quietly listening, nobody's going to assume that they endorse the religious message. So for all those reasons, the Supreme Court said there's no problem if government meetings open with a prayer and if the prayer is predominantly of one religious faith.
Yeah, which means, in fact, if the prayer ends in Jesus' name, not a constitutional crisis. If it's a prayer in Hebrew by a rabbi, not a constitutional crisis. It doesn't have to be some generic reference. To me, all of that is nothing but good news, and I think it puts to bed this issue. Now, I will tell you where the difference will be. In the school context, it always has to be student-led and student-initiated. That's what makes it legal in the school context. When we come back from the break, more on Benghazi. We've got a lot more to talk about. Jordan, give me a time frame on what we're hearing from Thana, when the hearing will be, or at least movement on a select committee.
It will all be announced formally today. So everything on the select committee and how we'll move forward to establish the select committee will come out from Speaker Boehner's office today.
So, folks, what that means is we're going to know by tomorrow. We're going to know where we stand on this and then the voting process that'll go forward. We want you to sign on to this petition urging a joint select committee at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. By the way, total numbers on Facebook between mine, ACLJ's, and Jordan, 1,207,677. Next move to 1,400,000. That's the next goal we've got. We want to get there by the end of June or certainly by the end of July to get to 1,400,000. ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook as well. Share us on Facebook and sign on to that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and 3 other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. If you have not yet signed our open letter to demand answers, to demand the truth about what happened in Benghazi, call now 877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Folks, I wanted to quickly play for you an interview that Jordan gave last week to CBN News. This is on the Benghazi issue, on sort of what we expect to come out of this new select committee that is forming. Let's go ahead and take a listen. This is Jordan on CBN News.
Growing evidence of a cover-up in the Benghazi terror attack. Good evening. I'm Mark Martin. Republicans and even some Democrats are calling for a select committee to investigate. A House panel heard more testimony today that military leaders had dismissed the idea the attack that killed four Americans stemmed from a video. But the White House claimed for weeks the video was the source of the attack. John Waggy has tonight's top story.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm?
18 months after the attack, the probe continues. House leaders say they'll press on, armed with thousands more documents they're just receiving.
We do so because the American people, more than anyone else in this body, have the absolute right to know why four men are dead in an attack that could have been prevented.
A former military intelligence official testified that the U.S. knew almost immediately that the attack on September 11, 2012 was terrorism.
But what we did know quite early on was that this was a hostile action. This was no demonstration gone terribly awry.
The Obama administration has insisted from the beginning that intelligence sources were responsible for Ambassador Susan Rice's post-attack talking points, in which she blamed an anti-Islamic video for the killings.
In reaction to this very offensive video that was disseminated.
But her instructions came in a White House email written by political aide Ben Rhodes, who urged Rice to, quote, underscore these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy.
The White House produced the talking points that Ambassador Rice used, not the intelligence community.
The White House only recently released the emails because of a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act, and that has turned up the heat from journalists, including ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Why were you holding back this information? Why was this email not turned over to the Congress? This is directly relevant. Why did you hold it back?
John, again.
Why did it take a court case for you to release this email?
John, I can say it again and again, and I know you can keep asking again and again. This document was not about Benghazi.
Democrats claim the Libyan situation was mired in confusion and that the focus should be on preventing future attacks on embassies and consulates.
People can play politics with a tragedy all they want. The fact of the matter is, at the time of the tragedy and even to this day, Libya is a very unstable situation post-revolution.
But a central point emerging from the hearings is that the White House perpetrated Benghazi talking points that officials knew weren't true in the heat of a re-election bid. And it's likely that lawmakers will keep looking for answers to the question former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton posed in an earlier hearing.
What difference at this point does it make?
John Waggy, CBN News.
Joining us now with more is Jordan Sekulow with the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney called the idea of a cover-up over the talking points on Benghazi a, quote, bogus GOP conspiracy. What do you say to that?
It's politics. And remember, the Benghazi attacks were right before the November presidential elections in 2012. And the Obama administration, and you remember President Obama, had talked a number of times throughout that campaign about al-Qaeda being on the run and al-Qaeda almost not existing anymore and no longer being the same kind of threat it was. And to admit that there was a coordinated Islamic terrorist attack by al-Qaeda affiliates that killed four Americans, of course, undermine that entire message. And so we've now seen from an email that had to be released because of a court order. And important for everyone to know, Jay Carney has claimed that this email wasn't about Benghazi, and the court order was only about Benghazi information. So if they felt like they were compelled to release it by the court, it was because it's Benghazi-related.
Jordan, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is calling the email a smoking gun. Do you agree?
We do agree. You know, this has been what people have been missing. And this email initially was released to Congress, but it was heavily redacted, so you could barely see what was in it. But what we are seeing now is that a couple of days, and we can't forget this part either when politics are at play, Hillary Clinton was talking about this video being the inspiration and protests and of course, the opposite of a coordinated terrorist attack, but something that was spontaneous. Remember, she said the thing about four guys walking down the street, a group of guys saying, let's kill some Americans tonight. She said that in one of her final testimonies before Congress. This was being said days after. And so this email came to prep Susan Rice, who was then the UN ambassador for the United States and now is the national security advisor to President Obama at the White House. And it was to prep her for, remember, everybody knows, she did all of the Sunday news shows. Likely why she's not Secretary of State right now is because she went on those shows with the talking points that we're now reading that had no mention of the word terrorism, and it's not in the email either, no mention of an actual coordinated attack, but instead all about a video, which the CIA has said they never told the administration that they were concerned that a video had inspired this attack.
How potentially damaging to the White House is all this?
Well, that's up to the American people at this point. You know, it is ultimately the cover-up is usually the big problem in Washington. That's the top scandal. And this is a dangerous position, and that's why everyone should care that's out there right now. Because if we allow Congress or politicians, and the president as well, to use our intelligence capabilities, to use our military, and then misuse their talking points to try and put together a political message, that we're going down a dangerous road that will be repeated again and again and again. The military, our intelligence apparatus, are not to serve the political interests of our elected leaders. They're to protect America and our national security interests. And that's why it's more important than just some talking points. And of course, it's about the four Americans who were killed and not letting this happen again and not letting the misuse of our military and intelligence forces.
All right, Jordan Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice, thanks for your time, sir, and for breaking it down for us.
Thank you, Mark.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on CBN News. And listen, as we close the broadcast today, a couple of things I want you to do. I want you to go to ACLJ.org and, first of all, read Jay's article that's called Benghazi Emails Proof Obama White House Put Politics Ahead of Truth. I also have one up that's called Day of Reckoning. And here is the bottom line, folks. It is no longer credible to believe that the story that Secretary Clinton began telling on September 12th, that she continued telling at the memorial service where our heroes were welcomed home on September 14th. And frankly, folks, the story that White House Press Secretary Jay Carney continues to tell this week, that story is no longer credible. And the worst part of this, folks, four Americans died, but two of them, Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, died almost 7 hours after this attack had been, and there was no help dispatched for them. Do we think that help would have gotten there on time? We don't know. And honestly, it doesn't really matter. We should have tried. We should have sent them. They could have been fighting for days and help would have not arrived because it was never sent. That is not acceptable. That is not what happens in America. And that is why we are asking, we are demanding answers about what happened in Benghazi, why no help was sent. We sure hope this select committee will get those answers. We are demanding that they do just that. If you want to stand with us, stand for truth, demand answers for Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Again, as we close the broadcast, the phone number to stand for Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, 877-989-2255.
Suspicion is a new religion.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including, why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.